Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along. And this is Ashland Dave. This is Running in the Center of the Universe podcast, episode 239. It's the week of March 31st, 2017. I'd like to thank you for coming along. I'd like to thank you for coming back if you're a returning listener. Certainly do appreciate that. If you're a new listener, welcome aboard. This is a very amateur podcast, as you'll find out if you listen through the show. However, I have had a lot of fun with it over the years, met lots of incredible people, and here I am with episode 239. Pretty unbelievable. This week I have an interview with Keith Cartwright. Keith is kind of a new friend of mine. Lives in the center of the universe here in Ashland. I've kind of known who he is for a while, but really just became friends over the last several months. And he's got an interesting story about how he got into distance running and what inspires him. And he's Keith is what we call around here a Megger, and that is in reference to the legacy of Meg Menzies, who died back on January 13, 2014, at the age of 34 at the hands of a drunk driver right here in Hanover County, not too far from the town. That morning, she was running with her husband, Scott, and in the morning, it was actually in the morning. It wasn't, you know, when the, like at the beginning of the work day, and his doctor, Michael Carlson, was driving to work. He was still intoxicated from the night before and ran off the road, and Scott was able to get out of the way, but he was running in front of Meg, his wife, and she was hit and died of serious trauma later at the hospital. Dr. Carlson eventually got sentenced to 4 years in prison for involuntary manslaughter. And Meg leaves behind her husband, Scott, and three children. She was a member of the Richmond Roadrunners Club. She was a Boston Marathoner and really a member of the running family nationwide. And that's really where the story starts with Keith. He knew the Menzies family. We'll talk about that in the interview. Scott Menzies was a police officer here in Ashland. Everybody knew who he was. And the incredible irony is that Scott had devoted his life to arresting and stopping drunk driving, and then here, just the absolute irony is that his wife, his family was just shattered by a drunk driver. And to even put another stroke of interesting irony into it, the defendant, Michael Carlson, his wife was killed by a drunk driver some years before he killed Meg by being drunk behind the wheel. So it's just really heavy stuff. And but Meg's legacy really continues on, and the amount of people that loved her and admired her, and Keith is one of those, and he's what they call a Megger. So his story starts really where her memorial run in her honor was done the week after her death, and that's where his running story starts, and that's what we talk about in the interview. So I hope you stick around for that. We did it at the local watering hole at the Caboose, which is one of my favorite places in the center of the universe to get some frosty golden beverages, and I hope you enjoy the interview. Make sure you stick around afterwards for the email bag section of the show. And one other thing, I did extensive coverage of my thoughts and feelings in reference to Meg's death in two podcast episodes back, number 189 and 190. So that would have been January of 2014. If you want to go to ashlanddave.podbean.com and go back and download those. If you're a relatively new listener, I think you might understand a little bit more where Keith's coming from. I'll talk a little bit more about Meg's story. All right, I'm here with Keith Cartwright, and we are at the Caboose, which is the, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know this is where I like to get my my alcohol. But anyway, me and Keith are sitting in front of a flight of four beers each. We're going to talk a little bit about his inspiration for running, the story of Meg Menzies, and what inspired him to get out there and put those miles down. And I've gotten to know Keith over the last couple months. As I mentioned before, we do every other week men's breakfast. We just talk about various things, family and you know, religious commitment, family commitments, job commitments. We get inspiration from each other, and I can't believe it's taken me this long to get to know you, because I've known who you, like I've said before, I've known who you were. Right. because you sit on the Parks and Recs committee with the town with my wife Monica. Right.
Yep.
So I've heard your name. I've heard people talk about you. I've seen you running in town, and I've waved to you. And I've always known who you were, but I never met you until. What, 3 months ago?
Right, now here we are doing a podcast.
I really appreciate your time, and so we're going to talk a little bit about Meg Menzies in the introduction of the show. I did talk about a little bit about her story. Pretty much an incredible person, and just a family-oriented woman, and good Christian woman, good wife, good mom. Good runner. I mean, she was a Boston marathoner. She qualified without the charity. She qualified by time. And her story has resonated with you, and that's why we're here. So you're a Megger, is what they, is what they call the people that
proud Megger.
Kind of follow follow her inspiration. Yeah. And how did you learn about her story when tragedy struck back in January of 2014? And what kind of transpired from there? Because that's a story about you that I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's I'll never forget the moment. I was sitting right across the street here in the library. And at that time, I was doing some contract work. So I'd find myself working in the library. And I got a text message from my wife. And the message said, "Do you know Scott Menzies?" Well, Scott's Meg's husband. Scott's a, Scott's a police officer. Right. Was a police officer here in town.
Hey, and, y'all. How you doing?
Scott and I had done some work together, so I told her,
So you knew him.
Yeah, I knew Scott.
Okay.
And so I responded, "Yeah, I know Scott. Why?" And so she said, "His wife was just hit and killed out on, I don't think she knew at the time where, but she just said, his wife was hit and killed." And that floored me because it had just been a week or so before that, Scott and I stood out in front of my house, and we were talking family stuff about camping, and he and the family had just done some camping, and, hit me. Hit me hard because I knew in that conversation just how important family was to him. So, in that instant, I'm a dad too. I've got 8 and 10 year old boys. So in that instant, your mind just starts racing. Right, here was a mom, out running, had just put her kids on the bus, and her kids were about the same age as mine, a little bit younger. Okay. So you just start to see yourself in that situation. As you alluded to, that really impacted our town. Lots of the story spread quick, and I didn't know Meg. I knew Scott, but I'd never met Meg. But
I hardly knew her. I think I met her maybe once or twice. And when I'm out, I guess I saw her running more on 301.
Right.
I would see Scott. We were both instructors for a special class that we taught to other law enforcement officers, and I didn't know that you knew him. So, wow.
Yeah. Well, as you
everybody knew who he was.
As you covered in the great irony in my relationship with Scott is Scott and I got to know each other working together on projects to prevent drinking and driving specifically. Scott had a reputation for really.
It's the irony in this whole thing.
Being dog determined about. Preventing drinking and driving. It hit me that our community started, really the emotions started flooding and a lot of people started responding. But then what really hit me, and I think you remember, so there was a Facebook page that got started by my friend, Brooke Roney.
Is she the one in Texas? Or
yeah, Brooke. Brooke's from here.
She's
Brooke,
from here.
Yeah, Brooke knew Meg. I think they may have even gone to college together. So Brooke knew her, and Brooke she was like, "I need to do something." So she started this Facebook page, and one way or another, run for Meg. And so there was this virtual run scheduled for that Saturday. Saturday after Meg died on Monday. And by that Friday, that page had 100,000 people following it in 1 week. And
unbelievable.
And all these folks were talking about planning to run for Meg. I'm telling you, there were people from Russia, there were people from China. And so as you're following this thing, hearing these people planning to run for Meg, I thought, well, I'm going to have to get out there and run. And I was not a runner, right? So
had you done any running before that?
you know, I tried to stay fit, you know.
Right.
I'd do a lot of aerobics, lift some weights, and occasionally I'd get on the treadmill and crank out a mile or two, but never really run.
Not a marathon.
Oh, Lord, no. Oh, dear God, no. But that Saturday, you know, I got out and I put my music on. I started running and, you know, I just started thinking a lot about the family, just the pain. And I just kept running. Before I knew it, I had run, I'd run 8 miles. You know,
oh,
for
wow.
me, that might as well have been a marathon that
wow.
day. And that really, I got done that day, and that really just sparked something in me. I spent a lot of time reflecting while I was out there, and I had never really thought that clear. There was just something about
wow.
running and something about that whole experience. So I knew, you know, in that moment, some sort of journey had started. I wasn't sure what it was.
You didn't know where it was going to end up.
I had no idea. So, that's how I got my start. Running, and Meg certainly was the catalyst for that. I would not be running today if it hadn't been for that. And, you know, the worldwide, literally, you know, and I'm not yeah. exaggerating when I say as a worldwide response to.
I didn't realize there was
story.
That many. I know that. I mean, I went to her funeral, and it was just so many different. There were a lot of funny stories told,
yeah.
and you could just she just touched a lot of people, and. And so that kind of leads me to the next question. What about her story kind of resonates with you and inspires you? I mean, you knew that she was about her Christianity,
yeah.
your faith,
yeah.
And then you're a man of great
yeah.
faith. We've had lots of other discussions about that. How did those two things kind of connect for you, and what was born out of that?
Yeah, and I think it came first. Through my conversations with Scott,
okay.
you know, Scott would talk about just what a good Christian woman that Meg was, and, you know, that's my faith is
right.
Christianity. And he started talking about just how devoted she was to that, how simple she kind of was with life. She was, what was most important to her was her family.
Yeah.
And that came from her faith in God. She was very active in her church, active in volunteering. So the more you heard about her, you knew this was a solid person, right? But then, you know, you wonder, because literally going back to that Saturday, when 100,000 people from around the world, and I remember Scott had a map after that had pins in every state and country where people had run, and they tallied up. I mean, it was over 1 million miles run for her that day. So you
wow.
start asking yourself, what is that? What is so powerful? Nobody knew her, really. You know, if you
right.
look at the percentage, it's a very, very small
right,
percentage
right.
of people who even knew her. But I think it was, and Scott said it best, you know, it's that people really could relate to her, right? There's this, she was not this superhero. She wasn't this person who had won a gold medal.
Right.
She was just a mom. And to see that kind of outpouring for a, you know, normal person, you know, that moved me. And, you know, you start thinking a lot about your own legacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And here she was. She had passed. She was gone. But yet, all these good things were being said about her, and all these good things
right.
were happening because of her. And it was absolutely because, and I talk with, you know, I'm good friends with her mom now, Meg's mom.
Oh,
and, you know, we talk all the time that this story, it would have never gone the direction it had if one, mom and dad hadn't raised this girl to be the kind of woman that she was, and if she hadn't lived out her faith every day, if she wasn't the kind of person she was, the story wouldn't be. So really, you know, I started thinking of it in terms of my own legacy, right? We think today we're out there doing things to make a difference for today, but I've got two young kids too, and so I started asking myself a lot of what would my story be when I'm gone, you know? Is it people come to the funeral and then boom, you know, it's
right.
over? Or have I done some things that people will remember and feel worthy of carrying on?
Because I don't think she wasn't a fame. She wasn't the kind
nah.
of, I mean, I didn't know
nah.
her But Scott was not one that, he was very humble.
I still say probably the biggest impact statement, and actually it was at the, so I was at the trial, the part of the trial where the victims get to give their impact statements. And Scott talked about Meg and how they lived paycheck to paycheck. And he said the thing about Meg was is that she embraced that. She embraced the sacrifice of that. And, you know, in today's culture, you just, that's a foreign concept. But it just goes back to, for her, it was more important that she was going to be home. She was going to be looking out for her kids. She was going to have the time to volunteer and be with her family. So that was really what resonated with me the most in terms of her story. But, you know, then all these people kept running for her. So you had this Facebook page, and so day after day you're reading about all these people are running for Meg. And so then I started running more. And
okay.
And so I kept at it, and running just became this sort of prayer for me. And I think along the way I figured out why Meg spent so much time running. You know, there was just this clarity. I talked with God a lot out there, and I'd had conversations with God before, but they didn't feel like this. It was almost like, you know, you got some answers back, and that's running, and that's what running is for me.
So
you know, today
you like to run by yourself because
absolutely,
got it.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do. So that kind of, I didn't realize that you were friends with her mom.
Yeah.
That's, kind of learning something new all the time. Yeah. I've never met her mom. I didn't get a chance to, she wouldn't know who I was.
She is a wonderful, you talk about somebody who lives their faith. She's had all the reasons in the world to be bitter.
Yeah.
To be angry, and all you'll ever hear her talk about is her love for God. So she herself is a real testimony. So
you chomped off distances here bit by bit.
Yeah.
Eventually, I guess signed up for your first race. I guess it wasn't a half marathon, was it?
Yeah. So that's a crazy story. So it was that same year, it's 2014.
She died in January.
She died in January 2014. Well, again, so this group kept growing, right? And so there's all these people becoming part of Meg's Miles supporters.
Right.
It's still a Facebook page.
Yeah.
So Richmond, the Richmond Marathon was one of Meg's hometown favorite races. So all these people decided they're coming from all over the country to come to Meg's race and
so that
run.
That was 2014.
That was 2014. And so I kept, you know, I kept hearing these guys want to come, guys and girls want to come run marathon, half marathon. And so I went to the website. And I look at that and I say, you know, Keith, you're out of your mind. Don't even think about it. Now, I knew I wasn't running a marathon. That was absolutely impossible. But, you know, I had run some 5, 6, 7 mile races. And so, but I kept going to that website. Well, one of the guys, Tracy Outlaw, that I met through, you know, virtually through this group, he had been in town for something about a month before Richmond. And so I met him out at the airport and we had dinner. And so he was coming back. He was going to come back actually and run the marathon with Scott. So that was their plan. And so I began to feel like, man, I'm getting left out of this thing a little bit because everybody else is going to be running and I'm just going to be there cheering, what have you, which I've really come to appreciate people that cheer. But at that time, By that time, I kind of started feeling left out. So I went home. I went out on a long run, and it was just a spiritual deal, man. I was out there, and I think that was the day when, I started thinking about the scripture that says, you know, finish the race that's set before you. And that was one of the scriptures Meg's mom was always throwing out there. Run with endurance the race that's before you. And so I thought about that, and so I finished my run. I'd probably run 6, 7 miles, and I did that a couple times a week. So I went home, I got on the Richmond Marathon website, and I went to the half marathon, and I went ahead and pushed the button.
That's
the hardest
part.
I registered. And so I had less than a month to, I'd never run more than, like I said, that 8 miles that I ran for Meg on that Saturday was the longest I'd ever run. So 2 Saturdays in a row, I went out one Saturday and ran 10, and then the next Saturday I went out and ran 12, and it was a battle. But So anyhow, though, that November, I lined up and ran a half marathon.
So that was November of 2014.
November 2014.
And then you did a couple others?
Yeah, so the next spring, again, a group of Meg's Miles folks that had become friends online, there was a Tracy Outlaw had some connections up in Kentucky. There's a big race in Lexington. I'm actually running it in 2 weeks. Is Run the Bluegrass, and it was so I had run that half marathon in Richmond thinking, okay, well, this is hard. These races are ugly. But I'll go do another one. I could do it right. I could do it, so I'll go to Lexington and I'll run a half marathon with them. If I did it once, I can do it again. Well, the only thing, so the website for Run the Bluegrass says 32 gently rolling hills. So anything that says gentle, I'm thinking, how hard can it be? There wasn't nothing gentle about it, Dave. I mean, I got there. I never around here, unless you're out on 3-0 run or something, there are no hills.
Right.
And I sure didn't run hills on treadmill. So those were literally the first hills I'd ever run on. Somebody still has a video of me after that race going to dinner. I couldn't walk. I mean, I was just in pain. I hurt for a week after. But again, I did it. You know, there's some great pictures from that race that there's a classic of me and Scott, actually,
wow.
And then two of the guys that I met through this group. They were almost carrying me through the finish line, but the pain on my face. But to this day, it's probably as proud as I've ever been of anything, because other than the marathon. But that was a brutal race to finish. I wanted to quit so bad.
Well, let's fast forward to this past November of 2016. You ran your first marathon, and the reason I say first, because I know there's another one in there. And I tell you, once you're a marathoner, you're a marathoner forever.
We'll see.
It's hard. At least now you know how hard it is.
No.
And I know I saw your finishing video.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very inspiring.
Yeah.
It was just, like I told you in the email, I think it was your boys that ran out there.
Yeah.
I don't know how you got all these people over the metal.
I don't know either.
Because, you know, these things, you can't really get over them.
It was powerful.
But it was like time, just watching the video that you had posted.
Yeah.
It's just like time kind of, because I know what you were running for. And at that point, I knew you.
Yeah.
So it's like time just kind of stood still, and the video wasn't even in slow motion.
Yeah. No.
And so talk about that experience a little bit. I mean, you had a lot of supporters out there, but you had supporters, but you have been supporting
absolutely.
People. So how did you get to that point? Kind of fast forward to your training for that.
Well, so it's funny. So the next year, November again, so November 2015, I had originally signed up to run the half, but I'd been busy with work two jobs, and I'd done no training, even relative to the first one, I'd done no. So in the end, I decided I'd cheer. I'm going to go out there and just cheer for everybody, and I did. But the funny story is, so there was a guy, Ken Oldendick, who's a part of the Meg's Miles group from Maryland. We just had met him through here. Ken came to Richmond that fall, signed up for the half marathon, so he believed. He went to pick up his packet and found out that he had accidentally signed up for the marathon.
How do you do that?
And so I have no idea. So it became sort of a running joke.
Okay.
I have a friend, Lachelle and Robin, and a couple of them were, you know, they were, Ken, you can do it. I mean, you've trained for a half, you can do a full. I said, are you all crazy? You know, no, it's not. You can't do one for the other. And so it became this big, Ken, you can do it. Ken, you can do it. And I'm thinking in my mind the whole time, no, he can't. You can't. So Ken's a big guy. Ken's a great story in himself. Ken, and you know, he's lost 100 pounds or something in a running jury. He's just made a real commitment to getting healthy, and he's just, like I said, he's an incredible story himself. But to be thinking, no, you signed, and so again, I'm thinking, if I signed up for half and showed up,
right,
and found out I'm running a marathon, you can count me out. So through all the encouragement, Ken decided he's going to try to run this marathon.
Oh,
and sure enough, so staying out there all day cheering, sure enough, in a scene that ended up looking very similar to mine, Ken comes running down the hill, finished his marathon that he accidentally signed up for, really had no business signing up for, but, you know, again, he knew he had all these Meg's Miles folks supporting him, all this encouragement, and he did it. And when I watched him come down, so there was a whole lot of, wait a minute, if Ken can do it.
Now, are all those Meg's Miles supporters going to be around when he's sore as shit the next day?
But they were there.
Anyway.
But that put the seed in me. And it was just that scene, the look on his face, the encouragement that everybody had. And so at that point, I didn't say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go home and sign up for a marathon next year. But I know that's where the seed sort of got planted. Well, and then Meg's mom, Pam, ended up registering to run her first marathon.
Did she really?
In November, same day I did.
Oh.
So when she started talking that she was doing it and had a lot of her friends that were going to do it with her, I decided, okay, I'm signing up. I'm going to do it.
So you did a meetup with other people from the group that morning, I presume.
Yeah, there was a bunch of us. Yeah. And that's kind of November Richmond has really become sort of the Meg's Mom's reunion. Probably had 100 people come last year from all over the country, California, Seattle, Texas.
Goodness.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, we're talking.
That's a great race, though.
It is.
It's America's friendliest.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so.
I just wish I would love to run that every year, but I just can't train in the summer.
Well, and that's why I say I
mean, that was my first one.
It was. That was the hardest part, and that's why I could never do it again. One, it was so hot, and then two, I got my young boy, so
can
it's just.
I know you're not really working on this side. Can I get an IPA?
Absolutely.
Full glass of it? Yes, sir.
Sounds good.
She's just been real busy.
No problem.
All right, let's go to the next. Okay. Okay, so obviously if you just did a half and just kind of staying with the distance, how does that work with your lifestyle? You got two boys. I guess they're involved in activities.
Yeah.
I don't know if your wife works or not. I know you work in two different jobs. How do you get it to balance? Are you a weekend warrior kind of like me where the bulk of your miles are on the weekend, or do you get out there during the week, or do you take a break?
No, So I try to get 3 runs a week. I mean, that's pretty much my plan. And every weekend I try to get a long run in. And
right.
With the half marathon, those long runs are usually anywhere from 8 to, you know, leading up to Shamrock last weekend, I did run an 11, but that's more doable than the 18:20s I was trying to do in the summertime in terms of time away from.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
In terms of time away from family. And so then I'll try to sneak in, a 3 mile and a 6 mile during the week, and then get over to the gym and do a little treadmill. Yeah, you know, if I can get a quick mile and then do some other bike or something, but I don't have the time to. Like I said, I work 2 jobs. My family's the most important thing to me, so I'm not going to be one of those guys who can go out and run six times a week. And I'm not a guy that can get really committed to running a lot of marathons.
Yeah, that's hard to do. I think you're talking about me. I am kind of one of those guys.
Yeah.
But what I do is I do it so early on Saturday mornings that it doesn't impact. Well, we try. That
right.
way I'm done and I'm
right.
and I'm home. You know, I'm not running till 1 in the afternoon.
Right. Right.
And then on Sundays, I run before we go to Mass at 8:30, so we go as a family.
Right.
Because that's when my kid wants
right.
to go. So.
Right.
Yeah, it's. I joke that I actually go to bed earlier. I just saw her. There's Jane Yancey. I just saw her at court today. She's gonna walk over and be on the podcast. Hey, Jane.
I'm stalking you.
Yes, I was just telling him I just saw you in court today. How are you?
Do
you know Keith? Jane Yancey?
Keith Cartwright.
Oh,
nice to meet you.
A long time. How you been?
Hi. We just came from tennis.
Still grown up?
And after sitting out there in the cold weather, I just need a nice glass of red wine. So
go for it.
Yeah. So
that's what we're doing. We're just talking about running and stuff.
Yeah. So what do you guys... So you work at the Sheriff's Department as well?
No, but I don't.
Yeah, we just...
Dave's my friend.
Yeah, we just... Nice. I don't know. We just have a lot in common.
Yes.
We run, like to run. We do a men's breakfast every other Wednesday. So some friendships have kind of sprouted off from that. And me and Keith get along real well.
Yeah.
Well, nice to meet you.
It
you guys
is nice
enjoy
to meet you.
Here.
Yeah. Thank you.
And we'll see you guys.
See ya. Thank you.
Are you a senior or a junior?
Junior.
Okay. That's right. Her brother's out of college. Where were we? Oh, yeah. Because I like to do these challenging things, and that's what I'm leading into with my question is, what distance is what do you want to do next?
Yeah.
Obviously, part of the Meg's Miles group is participating, not just spectating.
Yeah.
course, you need both types
yeah,
of people.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do next? Is it, I know you're, for your experience, it sounds like you have a very spiritual
yeah,
experience when you run,
yeah,
which I think is really cool,
yeah,
because a lot of people might not realize that's what they're experiencing
yeah, no,
when
I,
they're out there running.
Yeah,
some people
no,
just know, they just feel really good,
yeah,
but maybe they don't know why.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, what do you have planned?
Well, so this year I decided, up until, so I'd run 5 half marathons and a full marathon, and every one of those races I had one goal in mind, and that was just to finish, right? There's a time limit, that's all I wanted to do. I didn't have any time in mind. But in January this year, I said, okay, if I'm running this year, I'm going to try to improve. I'm going to try to be a faster runner. So I started, lost about 17 pounds,
woo,
and I had started running harder. You know, I wasn't running more, but when I was running, I was getting committed to trying to push it, trying to run
yeah,
harder. And so that first half marathon I ran in November 2014, that ended up being the fastest half I'd ever run. It was 2 hours 53 minutes. So this weekend at Shamrock, that was my goal. I said
yeah,
the whole time, I committed the whole time that I'm going to beat that 2 hours and 53 minutes. So I trained hard, was running hills, I was doing everything I could. And so we showed up over there at the Shamrock, and I don't know who all, you know, probably some of your listeners were at that race. It was a monsoon.
Yeah, Dr.
It
Smitty was down
cold
there.
I was standing at that start, and so I started toward the back, too. So it wasn't even like when you line up that I was
so
ready to take
really
off.
So these were really the worst running
was,
conditions.
So by the time I took off, my feet were soaking. So in 6 races that I had run in, I literally had never run in a single drop of precipitation. So here I am with this goal in mind. I'm going to break my personal record.
Right.
Rain sideways, freezing cold. It was just, and so I'm imagining, how am I going to finish this thing? Well, once I started running again, you know, it was the, you know, you hear it a lot that God's with you in the storm. You know, as a Christian, that's really what you lean on, is that, man, life is a storm, so we got God.
Right.
So I really focused on that a lot. And lo and behold, 13.1 miles later, I ran 2 hours and 32 minutes. So I beat my previous record by 21 minutes in the worst possible conditions.
And so, what did you get to do? Then you get to go ring?
Ring the PR bell, which was no. I'm telling you, I was excited about it when I thought it was going to be right there at the finish line, but they had that bell planted clear down on the beach. And so I'm telling you, on this day,
the
sand was flying in, and so that PR bell looked like it is not even worth it. But I got a great picture, and
it is a good one.
It ended up being class. I'm glad I did, but I almost didn't go do it because it was such a miserable day.
Did you go into the post-race area, the tent?
I did, but I'm not a big crowd fan, so I stepped in there for a little, mainly to warm up,
yeah,
because it was the only place where you were out of the wind. And there was some heat, but I didn't spend much time there because I got up at 3 in the morning. I didn't spend the night there. I got up at 3
right,
in the morning here and left at 3:30, drove over there, and I was soaking wet. And
did you drive by yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So it was a long
drive. So you had to walk back
home
to your car.
I did. Yeah. And so I got there at 5:30 in the morning, and I forgot where I parked. I mean, I knew which parking garage, but I had no idea what floor. So I was... I was walking up and down steps trying to, and so I'm pushing my, you know, the remote, trying to hear my car beep. It was the worst post-race experience possible. But I was, you know, I was walking on cloud nine, really, because that was, I ran faster than I ever dreamt. That was the first time I ever really thought, man, this is pretty cool running, you know. It's a different feeling than I finished. And other than my marathon, that was a great feeling because I knew if I finished, that was accomplishing more than I was really cut out to accomplish. That was overachieving for me. But to think that I would one day, if you'd have told me any time in the last couple of years, hey, Keith, someday, you know, you'll run about a 2:30 half marathon, I'd have laughed at you. I said, there's
just, like, I don't even have plans to run.
I don't want
marathon,
to, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a good lesson that, you know, it's still, even at my age, 52, that when you put your mind to something and you work at it and you do the things you need to do to get better, that, you know, I'm never going to be a world-class runner, but it was
right,
a reminder that when we put our mind to something, that, you know, relative to what we're capable of, we can always get
oh,
better. That's kind of where I'm going now. You know, it's a spiritual journey, so I'm getting ready to launch a...
I wanted to talk about that.
Yeah.
Before we get to that,
yep.
So you finished Shamrock this past weekend.
Yep.
Are you registered for anything else this spring?
I am, so I'm going back. I'm calling it the Revenge the revenge tour, so that I talked a minute ago about Run the Bluegrass in Lexington back in 2015, and it was the worst race of my life. It was the slowest, it was the worst, it was the hardest. And I think I ran about 3:05 there. So I'm going back there here April 1st, Run the Bluegrass in Lexington, and my goal, I want to run 2:45 there. So that'll be, if I can do it, that'll be a huge...
Hey, quickly hit on the one you ran down in... not Costa Rica. Where was it?
Yeah. Cayman Islands. So that's a, you know, it's another great story. It's just kind of been what this Meg's Miles group has become. So I met a friend, Robin Larkin. I actually met her out at Meg's Memorial. So there's, Meg has a shoe memorial out there, you know, near where you were. You go by there every day. So we had met online, but then her and her husband were going to be at the memorial. So actually Scott and I went out there one day and we met her. And so that, you know, our friendship kind of blossomed from there. So the next year she came from the Cayman. She lives, her and her husband live in the Cayman Islands. So
but they're
the next
year, American. Yeah.
Yeah.
American?
Yes. Yeah, they're originally from the States, but now they live over in the Cayman. But the Cayman's a British territory. But Robin came, so she stayed with our family here the next year and ran Richmond. Well, then she came back the following year to run Richmond, but she said she was only going to come back if I would go over to Cayman and stay with them and run a half marathon. So last December, my wife Katie and I, we went over to the Caymans for a long weekend.
That's incredible.
And I ran a half marathon over there with somebody who I'd never met if it hadn't been for Meg's tragedy. And then the group that's come out of it. And there's just literally
story after
hundreds,
story.
If not thousands, of friendships like that from Meg's death. And then going back to what I talked about, legacy, you know, it's just the way she lived her life left this impact on people that made them want to live like her. I mean, and it's a running group, you know, there's 16,000 people and it's called a running group, but people know when they go there, what they're really going there for is encouragement. They're going there for prayer. They're going there to lift each other up. And there are a lot of walkers in there. There's a lot of people that don't do either in there. They just love, you know, the world. Some days you can go on Facebook or wherever and hear a lot of conflict, and people know it's a safe place. You go there. And so that's what the friendships we have. So here I was sitting in the Cayman Islands and running a half marathon, and it was hot.
I remember you said that, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because I just have this vision of just everything just being really bright and reflecting really bright and hot, and I don't know, it's, I guess
it.
It was on the island, was it Loops, or is that island big enough to...
Well, the island's big enough, but it was out and back. Well, I guess it did loop, come to think of it, it did loop.
All right, well, let's talk about what you're getting ready to launch, and the purpose of the interview is not to advertise your launch.
Right.
It just happens to be around the same time.
Yeah.
March 31st. I'm hoping to get this show produced before that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. And, of course, I'll link to that at
ashlanddave.podbean.com.
So mention a little bit about what's your plan for the first show and maybe a little bit more longer term, and let some of the listeners know what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, so when I ran my first marathon, on the back of our shirt, everybody who came to run for Meg, we had shirts, and on the back it was the Bible scripture, 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And, you know, so I ran the time limit for the Richmond Marathon was 7 hours, right? And that was my goal, 7 hours. I mean, I had mapped out the pace I needed to, and I finished in 6 hours and 58 minutes. That's a long time to be running, you know?
Be on your feet.
But I thought, you know, I did what I did. I thought a lot, I prayed a lot, and in a mile 20, I've told you this, at mile 20, I really didn't think I was going to make it. I mean, my legs were starting to lock up. That had never happened to me before. I had never felt that sort of pain when I was running. But at that time, the song Lion and the Lamb came on, and one of the choruses in that song is, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? And even though new songs came on, I just kept hearing that the rest of the way. And about 2 miles out, a buddy from Texas who I'd met online, who was up here to run the race, he met me 2 miles out and started running with me.
He was there.
I saw him coming. It's a funny story. I mean, we got to wrap it up, but he had come to meet me. Well, some guys had stopped him at one of the local bars on the way there and said, hey, buddy, you're running the wrong way. You know, they were harassing him. He had his medal on. He'd already finished. He ran the marathon earlier. So he went over and started chatting with him. Well, he ends up going inside with them, eating a pizza and drinking a beer. I said, wait a minute, Bruce, you were coming to rescue me and you got held up by pizza and beer. He said, well, I'd have been here sooner. But it was the perfect story I needed to hear, you know, because I laughed a little bit. And then we got a mile out. And so Jorge, another friend from Texas now in New York.
Wow.
Him and my buddy Mo, who's more local, who I'd met through Meg's Miles, never knew before, the two of them can. And so I got a great picture of the four of us running towards the finish line. And, you know, so we were coming down the hill. You described it. All these people were coming to help me finish.
It was
emotional, but I was holding it together. Meg's mom came up, and she was right beside me. When I saw her coming, I was tearing up. Yeah. But the kicker was my two boys, they hopped the fence and came. I lost it. You know, I was crying. I was an emotional wreck. But, you know, I finished with that. And so this verse on the back of my shirt, 2 Timothy 4:7, was written by Paul to this young preacher. Paul knew he was about to die for being a preacher. He was he'd been persecuted and they'd got tired of him. So Paul knew he was going to die. That's when he said this in that letter to Timothy to encourage him. Man, you can do this. I've finished my race, but you have to keep going. The fight's going to be hard, but you got to keep going.
And
It's already having an impact. That's my goal with my running now. Is I'm going to keep running races. I want to run more of them, but with this message because what I've figured out is that this running journey, and that's really what it's ultimately come to. This running journey is a lot like the life journey a lot of people are going through. They're in this fight, you know, just trying to finish this race, and we owe it to people to help them get through this fight. We owe it to people to help them finish that race. But, you know, one of the things that struck me is why Paul saved to the end, I've kept the faith. You know, you would think faith would be kind of the first piece to help you get through. But when I finished that race, I knew that I fought the good fight, I finished the race, and I knew it was because of my faith. I knew it was because I had kept my faith through it. When I wanted to quit, God reminded me with that song, no, your faith is stronger than this. So that's 2tim47.com. I'm going to be interviewing folks that have stories of fights. I get a lot of runners who. So I've got a friend I'm going to interview, Robin, in the Caymans.
Oh, is that
she and
your
I are doing
show?
We're doing a phone interview this weekend. So Robin now runs for 22 Too Many, and that's the veterans that are coming back. 22 veterans every day commit suicide, and they're in for a heck of a fight, you know. And so we have to help them. So Robin runs a lot of marathons. So she's run two already this year. She runs for one vet who's committed suicide. So she runs in their memory and then to raise awareness. So we're going to talk about that, how her running journey led her there. And
so she just flies to wherever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
She had, I think you told me she had the means to.
Yeah. She
get
does,
around.
She's generous with her time, generous with her, both her and her husband Chris both. So
it's gonna be an audio podcast.
So it'll be an audio piece.
What's
and then
this,
I'm also.
And that's the website. Or?
That'll be at 2tim47.com.
Is so that
there'll
T-W-O?
Be a section. TWOTIM 47. Yeah.
Okay.
So that'll be one piece of it, and then the other piece is folks can follow along as I'm going to post drafts from chapters of this book I'm going to write. So it's not quite sure of the name for it yet.
Okay.
I'm going to be working on that, but it's really going to be 26 essays, one for each mile of a marathon, of just all the things I learned about life, really, in this running journey. Like I said, when you run those long distances, you think a lot, you know, and you try to. And I just figured a lot of things. I don't know if they're right or wrong or not, but they're right for my life.
Yeah.
And I've just been pushed to do things for other people. So I'm going to kind of write out a lot of really what we just talked about. Kind of we went 30 minutes through sort of this journey, but it's...
Well, you're very positive. And one thing I've learned from running, like, long distances. I mean, I'm talking about half marathons and beyond that. You know, when you get together for either a group run or a race, it's not a whole lot of negativity.
Right.
There.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you don't have drug addicts or people with major problems showing up to go out and do a 10-mile run.
Yeah.
They might have some issues that they're working through.
Right.
But they're generally positive
That's
people
right.
that are looking for a positive
That's
outcome.
Right. Absolutely.
Things.
Yeah, and, absolutely. And I think we can replicate that with our life. You know, I don't think enough we do that with people, give them the encouragement and that positivity we see at races. So,
well, I'll tell you, Keith, I'd like to definitely have you on again after you get your launch your podcast. Of course, I'll link to that at ashlanddave.podbean.com so all the listeners can check that out. And I'm really, I got all kinds of questions for you, which I'll ask you after we end the segment about, you know, what software you're using and what website you're going to host it at.
Yeah.
But we'll, that's all just technical stuff that podcasters look at. But I'd like to thank you for your time, and we'll see you down the road, man. Thanks.
Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks, man. Thanks, Dave.
And so I really want to thank Keith for his time for doing the interview, and we'll get into a little bit more about his podcast here in just a minute after I finish up the email bag section of the show, because he has launched his podcast. It's finishing up this show on March 31st, and I went and checked his website, and he has got a couple episodes up. So if you like his perspective and what inspired him, there'll be more in-depth discussion in his podcast. And you can find that now at rkeithcartwright.podbean.com. I did Google 2tim47.com, and I did not find anything at it yet. Let me try that on Google. So it doesn't look like it's coming up quite yet, but if you go to my site, ashlanddave.podbean.com, I'm going to link to it for show number 239, so make sure you you do that. All right, let's check out the email bag and see who checked in this week. I heard from Neil, and Neil Richard up in the King George area. He said, listen to your latest episode. Had a laundry list of stuff I wanted to email you about, but I couldn't write it all down because I was driving. So he said, all he can remember is the meetup with Dirt Dog. Now, Dirt Dog is Mike Croy. He lives up in Metro Detroit, and when I go up there later in April for my 50K race, I'm hoping to be doing a meetup with him and Sandy. I already know Sandy, but I know Mike kind of through email and stuff, and we talked once on a conference call for an old, like a conference podcast that I think called a Runner's Round Table or something like that from way back. But anyway, it'd be nice to meet him if I'm able to, and Neil, I'm not going to do any of your laundry, so thanks for the email. I'm glad you listened to the show. I really do appreciate it. It's always good to see you when we head up that way. Heard from Alex, and he's doing a 50K on April 1st called the Crown King Scramble. He said it's already getting warm down there. He lives in the Phoenix area. He said there was a lot of water on a training run that he did, and of course they dipped in the water to cool off. The race starts at a lake. He's camping out Friday night. And then he threw in his two cents in reference to the GPS question that I posed. And then I've got another email I'll get to in a second from somebody else. He's wanted to know, says, does the watch have auto pause? Maybe you need to turn that feature off. He said another discrepancy he notices is elevation gain. He said his buddy watch, his buddy's watch is always 500 feet of gain less than his. He's got a Garmin Fenix 2, which he likes a whole lot. He says the Bluetooth also, so it runs automatically. Automatically uploads to Strava. I know what Bluetooth is, but I don't know what Strava is. So I might have to check that out. Alex, I'm gonna get right into the next email, which is from another listener named Monica, who's actually my wife. I try to treat her as a regular listener and not as a special listener, although she wants to be a special listener. But she has to send more emails into the show if she wants to get her status lifted. But she says, Ash and Dave, hello, I'm your wife, hailing from your house. I looked this up and found a few theories about the difference. Great podcast. So she did some research, and apparently that's several run apps simultaneously on an iPhone get widely varying metrics. The main reason is the real-time geo data coming out of the iPhone is crap. Therefore, the app developers implement different filtering strategies on the data, leading to the different calculated metrics. Apparently, the iPhone has an onboard GPS, accelerometer, not sure what that is, and a compass, but it still manages to output such bad location data. The GPS antenna is quite small, but GPS watches are pretty small these days as well, and they work better. So apparently, This researcher says that the Apple needs to do better work on the operating system sensor data processing code. If they would only give us access to raw GPS data rather than forcing us to use their garbage location APIs, whatever that is. So it looks like the iPhone is an iPhone issue with mapping errors. There are not enough ping points during the run, so if you're not running a straight line, you lose distance. Now I'm going to stop right there. I actually tried something last weekend where I ran straight miles, and after the first mile, the iPhone, the map my run, still came up short. So I have a Droid phone that I have for work, and I was thinking about installing the Map My Run app on that just to see what the difference is. And I'm just not really sure what the problem is, because it really gets to be a lot difference over the course of, say, 20 miles. I think the difference was over half a mile. I mean, that's just too significant. But I'd like to thank Monica for doing this research for me. A lot of this stuff I didn't quite understand. APIs, AOS, iOS, Neotrex, Kaiser EB Walk, Nike Plus. I know what that is. I don't even know what some of this stuff is. And anyway, thanks, Monica, for sending that in. Thanks for listening to the show and being a supporter of the podcast in more ways than one. I wanted to just mention Charlie Band's email, because I mentioned it in the last show. However, I did check out the podcast Pace the Nation, and I thought it was pretty cool. I listened to two episodes, and it's got several people that are on the show at one time, and I thought that was pretty cool. So Charlie, thanks for passing that on. I've already mentioned that in the last show. And I think that might be the last one. Oh, Sandy. I'm sorry. I heard from Sandy. She is going to Chicago at the end of March for her 19th anniversary with she and her husband Eric. They're going to see the Broadway show Mary Poppins, and they have a friend whose daughter is in the lead role. She's going to be they're going to take the train from, I guess, Royal Oak, I think is where they live, to Chicago. She says, I've never been on the Amtrak before, so that will be really cool. That is so weird, because Amtrak is so much a part of our life here in the center of the universe because of the trains that go through town. And, you know, Amtrak goes through here several times a day. You know, it goes slow. I mean, it's a downtown area. I have not been on an Amtrak train in several years, but it just seems, it's just weird to hear somebody say they've never been on one before, because it just seems to be such a part of our life here. So I hope you have a great trip, Sandy and Eric, and we will definitely see you in a few weeks when I get up there. Really looking forward to that. So that'll be really cool. I have to take lots of pictures. So that is the email bag section of the show. So let's talk a little bit about Keith's podcast, okay? Right now it is hosted at Podbean. It's R. Keith Cartwright, that's cartwright.podbean.com. So if you go on that, you'll find it, or if you go to ashlanddave.podbean.com, I'm going to link to it. And it's called 210.47, I Have Finished the Race. He's got three episodes out, and the first one is episode one. It's called From Running Journey to Life Journey, and the synopsis is this, and then I'll comment on it. Come along as I talk about my journey from Saturday morning run to first-time marathon, our journey spurred on by the tragic death of a young mother who was struck and killed by a drunk driver while on a training run for the Boston Marathon. As they come to understand more each run, As I come to understand more each run, how much life is like running, living my life gets easier. I think you missed the word in there. The second episode is about a recap of the Shamrock Half Marathon, and then the third one is an interview with a good friend of his, talking a little bit more about inspiration. And so I'm going to check out these. I recommend you also, if anything that he talked about had an interest, was interesting to you, which I thought it was. Keith has a different perspective on things, and it's very positive, and it's contagious. And so do yourself a favor, if you're interested in that, check out that podcast. So that is it for this week. I'm glad to have you come along for the show, and I'll be back in a week or so, 10 days to 2 weeks, with another episode of the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. And this is Ashton Dave reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Keep on running. Don't forget to hug your kids. And y'all have a good week.
Thank you.